himself in the name of Jesus. Can we have our seat in God's presence? Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, church. Reverend Tosin said he's inviting the guest minister up. So I was trying to look around in the church hall if I can get a mirror to just confirm if he's talking about me or somebody else. But I think by now, even if I come into minister, it can be as a guest again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Doctor said he knew about the beginning, and I smiled. I said, I indeed do. I knew about the pains, I knew about the joy, I knew about the amusement, I knew about the excitement, I knew about the challenges. And that's one of the reasons why I'm excited in my spirit being here tonight. And I say again that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Faithful is he who has begun the good works, he will perfect it in you. Take your Bible if you have it in church tonight. As we go to the passage where the text for this anniversary comes from, Haggai chapter 2. And you know, I sat there tonight and I quickly scanned around. My wife accuses me of having a knack for looking too much. And I discovered that I knew a number of new things around. I like this podium. I think it's already a year old. I like these speakers. Covet honestly the best gift. I want to get information on how this one came in so that we can go and work on that. I like this. Very compact. Very compact, very beautiful, and I think I like the sound it's generating. It's not about having a big auditorium, it's about having a taste. And all these are indications that the miracle is on the way. The miracle is on the way. It's going to happen in these your days. I mean, you will not have wondered from this church when it will happen. And by the time the miracles start to happen, you will stand to testify and say, we knew it all when we were coming all along. And God has fulfilled his word in our lives. Haggai chapter 2. We've come to the glory tonight. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You know, the word itself is the glory. He that was in the beginning and that is still with us. The Bible said about him, John chapter 1 verse 14, that word became flesh. And the world dwelt amongst us, and we behold his glory. So if you want to catch the good glory, the real glory, you want to encounter the real glory, have an experience with the real glory, go for the word. We have come to the glory tonight. We have come to the glory tonight. Haggai chapter 2, start from verse 3. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are not there, say, oh me. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it, what you saw then? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel. That was a leader in the camp on that day. Yet be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. You know, that made me to feel like doctor. The high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and walk, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while. Another translation says, in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory. Can somebody say, I will fill this temple with glory? And that's what says the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Verse 8, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, can somebody say, in this place?
In this place.
And in this place,
in this place.
And in this place,
in this place,
I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Father, we ask tonight that you will breathe upon your word as we come to hear it. We thank you for the privilege, just like men of old, to come to the table of the showbread. The bread where there's a showing, the word that comes with revelation, the instrument with which you enlighten us, the spirit and life that you continue to speak upon our lives. Thank you because the world's framed by the word of God, and that the things that we see do not come from the things that appear. We thank you tonight for how far you have brought your church. We thank you for the grace which has been in this camp. We thank you for your spirit which has been in their midst. We thank you for the encouragement which has sustained them till now. We glorify you for the future that is still awaiting them. Thank you for that word that to him that is joined to the living there is hope. Glory to your name that you are not through with them yet. We come to you tonight as strangers and pilgrims here on earth. Our prayer, Father, is that you will not hide your commandment from us. Amen. But as we come to the word tonight, you will speak to us. Amen. You will open our eyes. You will cause us to see. You will anoint us even through the word. For when the spirit comes, for when the word comes, then comes the spirit. Let there be fresh grace upon everyone's lives tonight. Amen. And let every scales upon eyes here tonight be removed. That we may see clearly for your glory and praise. Thank you, precious Father. We give you all honor tonight. And we thank you for the honor of being able to come to your presence. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. The theme for this week is a very apt one. And it generates an excitement in my spirit. The glory of the latter house. You know, if we're talking about the latter house, it's because we're conscious of the fact that there's been a former house. If we're talking about what God wants to do now, it is because we also know that there are certain things he has done in our lives. We are looking at this with the consciousness that God has done stuff in our life, but all that he has done is not all that he's going to do. You know, God still has so much in his coffers. God still has so much in his purse. The Bible said if God is going to bless you at all, God will bless you according to his riches in glory. It is not with the consciousness of what you are going through. It is not with the consciousness of where you have been, what you have been through, what you have seen, what has generated tiredness in you. It's about the consciousness of what God is all about. The riches of his glory. And the theme tonight is a very exciting one. The glory of the latter house. You know, this brings us to the consciousness of the last days in which we are. This brings us to the consciousness of how much God has done in the affairs of men and how much God is still about to do. And you know, it's so wonderful in his plan. To the extent that I was meditating on this, and the pastor will confirm that when I was inside here, I started to write. And the reason why I was writing was because if I was here yesterday, there was one thing I would have spoken about. But starting from this morning, which was an everyday for me, he started to speak to me afresh. And that's the reason why I started. I constructed something fresh when I came in tonight. And what the Lord put on my heart to share with you tonight is stay with the original vision. Stay with the original vision. Look at somebody around you and say, stay with the original vision.
Stay with the original vision.
You know, I said, I'm happy with what doctor said. I know about all the experiences. And as I was coming on the way, I was meditating on the experience of Reverend Tosi and the entire team when this journey started. No, referring to it, not because we just want to remember some stars. No, because we want to appreciate God for all he has done. I remember how we've been in his car in those days, you know, not knowing when I will ever ride a car. And every time we're going home from church, I will be in that old Benz. I will be talking about ministry. We'll be sharing stories of pain. We'll be sharing stories of joy. It was both exciting and challenging. I remember when the call came upon him to start this great church. It wasn't in the usual way, he still remembers. It wasn't the way someone like me received the charge to go and plant the church where we are now. It was in the most unusual way. It was about get out of this place. It was about leave this company. It's about you're not hearing what you're saying. It was about, if you stay longer, then something else might happen. But we bless God today because the story has been an exciting one. You know, just like God said to them in this context, he said, I am with you. God has been with him over the years. And it's one of the reasons why I've consistently stayed around as his friend. I have looked at the tales, I've looked at the experiences. I mean, some of them, he will call upon me and say, well, you are my friend, but we have not seen for a while. And when I come around, we share stories of joy, stories of pain. And I remember that I was in the flesh when this journey started, or was about to start. He told me, my friend, look at all that is going on. I said, maybe you should just move out of this place and not plant a church. I thank God that that counsel did not carry weight with you that day. Because along the line, he said, there's a place where I would have loved to be, and my wife is a witness to that. But God said, don't go. You still remember? And he said, there's another place I would have considered to go. But I'm not having the release in me. And I said, maybe you need to pray. And thank God he's a man of prayer. And after he had spent time praying, he said, God said, don't look at the experience. Go out there and I'll be with you. I still remember. My wife says, one of your problems is that you remember too much. But I think this is one of the good things to remember, you know. And it just started. I remember there was a time I was hijacked, you know, go with somebody else, go and look at somewhere. You know, every time I drive into Surulere area, I can't remember the axis where that location was. And it was said that, look, just go and start in that place. It was a school that was not school. And I remember I said, we will start, but I will confide in you. It's not going to be in that place. And then you started in an office. But thank God for good offices. Some offices are 4x4. If it was like that, I wonder where Winning Faith Assembly would have started from. And then you move from that place to, is it Okokomaiko or Kokomaiko Hotel? You move to open heavens, where when wind blows, it's always a good story of experience. When heaven bends with the weight of blessings, you know, you start to pray, Lord, just let this service finish today. And then from there, you move to, was it Pocomico Hotel? I remember I never visited there until when Dr. Manager was coming one day. And they charged me, okay, go lead the GO to that place. And we're going, I didn't know. We went to open levels. We went to another place. Until we got to an hotel. And Pastor was shocked that day. He wasn't expecting the GO. He was about to preach. I saw him shaking a little. Of course, a great man of God does not come around you, especially your gagwagwata, and you just feel comfortable, especially when you didn't know he was coming. And he remembered, he told me on the way, oh, Bolu, they say your name is Bolu. You don't know the church that came out of your church. I said, sir, I'm sorry. There were too many issues around it that will cause us not to even know where they are. But I thank God here today. You know, I'm in a celebration mood. I'm in a celebration mood tonight. 10 years. Can someone say 10 years?
10 years.
If you go through pains of 1 year, you know what it's about, what it's like. It's also a testimony of the pain of 1 year that we knew when we started our church. A church that should have been shut down. But the Lord frustrates such plans. Ministry is a world of challenges. I mean, some have taught us that it is a place of excitement. But you know, I remember tonight, Philippians chapter 1 verse 23. Unto you it has been given on behalf of Christ. Not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. You know, that word has been given there is a very heavy word. Because it's been given there is about the gift of grace. Can you imagine God in his grace giving us opportunity to suffer for his sake? You don't bargain for it. You don't want it that way. But when it comes that way, you discover now that his will does not lead you to the place where his grace cannot carry you. No wonder you survived 10 years. 10 years. 10 years. 10 years. I'm envious tonight. 10 years. You know, I'm envious tonight. 10 years. I'm thinking of when are we going to mark 10 years? When are we going to clock 10 years in our church? But we bless God's name tonight. You know, life is transient. It comes like this, it disappears like that. You know, experiences in life are kind of given to fickle. Changes are always setting in. There's a way you want it to go, it's not always coming out that way. There's a way you want it to happen, it's not always coming out that way. And these oftentimes throw we as humans, you know, it throws us off balance. Lord, this was not how we planned it to be. Despite the pains of the beginning, which is natural in this world. You know, for all of us that are here, the day you came out, you cried. The day my second son came out at Liberal Hospital, It was in the night. The woman believed God strongly that it was not going to be as usual, like the first one that was very, very painful. You know, we had to just migrate to the hospital of a man that was filled with the Spirit. And then that night when the delivery happened, the boy was taken out. And I look at the boy. It wasn't like the first one. No throwing of the hands, no throwing of the legs. And I just kept cool because I know, you know, God has not called me unto being shaken always. So I just stayed still. And I sat there. I said, Pastor, you can sit down. I sat down now. She was okay. It was not like the first one. And I looked around. And then the woman was moving all over the place. And I said, nurse. I said, sister. So what are you going to do now? He said, Pastor, there's no problem. I didn't know that the boy had sucked some stuff in. So he wasn't moving. He wasn't crying. The body was white. I said, no, this is not what we planned. Most of the time when people come out, it's with pains, it's with crying, knowing babies come out. But even in spite of that, that was not where it all stops. Some of the experiences attempted to throw you off balance in the course of the journey, but you're still standing, you know, tonight. And that's why I'm in the mood of celebration, like I said, and I'm bringing congratulations tonight to every one of you, to Pastor, to Pastor Mrs., to Doctor, to all those who have now come to be elders who were in the team when you started. You know, it wasn't just Pastor's experience at that time. Some of you suffered for joining it with him. It was just like when I started my journey with my wife. You know, I spoke to her last week, and this weekend they sacked her. Oh, Lord. They called her and they said, are you sure? You know, people are still traditional in church. We're not spiritual. When she lost that job, they said, are you sure this is what you were looking forward to? Somebody just spoke to you. You just lost your job. And then decided to say stuff, you know, that will shake her to forget about the handsome man that God just brought into our life. Isn't he handsome? And they said all stuff. 1 year, no encouragement, no counsel. It was always shaking it. Experiences that will throw you off your balance. But tonight I want to tell you that God hasn't changed yet. Man may go through stars, but God is always standing. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, it says, I am the Lord, I change not. Every time people look at me and say, we don't want you to do it this way, I say, well, I am not the Lord. And that's why I keep changing. God has not called us not to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, we all as in the mirror, with open face as in the mirror, we behold the glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into the same from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. We change, but the Lord does not change. The Lord does not change. The Lord does not change. Now the church is standing here today is indicative of the fact that his mercies has been sufficient. Jeremiah said it's of the mercies of the Lord that you were not consumed. If it has not been for the Lord on your side, you will have been swallowed. Men will have put you under. You know what under means? 6 feet. But thank God who has not given you as prey to their mouth. We bless his name tonight. Can somebody just wave his hand and say, Lord, we thank you. We appreciate 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 you. Thank you because you are faithful. We appreciate you. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. Even if it is not like what we want it to be yet. A living dog, it says, is better than a dead lion. We might not be there yet, but we thank him tonight. We thank him tonight. In Matthew 28 verse 20 says, lo, I am with you until the end of the ages. And that's what brings comfort through it all. But tonight I want to share with you, where the church stay with the original vision. As an occasion, in an occasion of this nature, you know, we come to a point where we need to appraise ourselves. What has the 10 years been all about? But the appraisal tonight is not about what, how far have we gone, what have we done, what have we accomplished. The appraisal tonight is not about verifying our performance, but it's about verifying how well we have stayed with the original vision he gave us. You know, because man changed, too many things could happen. The Lord told me at the time, he said, the false ministers you see around, the reason why you don't even know that you have become false is because every false minister, most of the false ministers started well. Yes. But in the course of time, things started to change. You know, the desire, now this is just in the person, the desire for gain the desire for wealth, the desire for this, the consciousness of self, and the face of the ministry, and the world God gave started to change. And before you look at it, somebody who knew can come around and say, this was not the way it was when you started. I pray tonight that this will not be the story here.
Amen.
This will not be the story in Winning Faith Assembly.
Amen.
We have come this far, but the question tonight is, how are we relating with the original vision? We are caught on the web of time frames. At every point in time when we are standing, we can always make reference to the past, to the present, to the future. But one thing the Lord laid on my heart to share with you tonight is that He Himself has not changed. You know, when you look into that text, I had to talk to them there. In verse 2, He says, say to them. He says, say to them. He says, say to the leader. He says, say to his assistant. Said to the people. And when he was talking about the remnant of the people, you know, there are two ways you can look at that. It's not just about those who are still here now, but those who knew about it at the beginning who are still here. I'm sure not everybody is still here. The question is, what did you see at the beginning? Every time God starts with a man, He says, what do you see? Even if he does not ask that question, it stands for a man to look at himself and say, what is it that I'm seeing? Every enterprise starts with a vision. Every process starts with a vision. Every step starts with a vision. There's always a knowing about something that must be done. We don't just take steps and run. I know that there are a number of people who do things like that. And that's the reason after they run, they fall down, and then the end comes too soon. Every process starts with a vision. Brian, I know about the story, but I don't know exactly about what he saw at that time. I know it was an encounter in the night when they prayed. The wife filling with him. Not even knowing everything about it at the beginning. But one day God spoke to him. All this is happening because there's something I wanted to do. The question tonight is, what did you see when you started? For all of you who joined force with the man of God at the beginning, some of you saw something in him. Some of you knew there was something God wanted to do. Some of you knew that God is a God of new things and He's starting a fresh course. You joined Him then, but the question tonight is, what did you see when this process started then? What did you see? And when you started the journey and continue in the course of these 10 years, what have you seen? But you know, at the beginning, every time we see good things, God does not tell anyone about the challenges. Every time I'm talking about this, the best story I use to illustrate it is the story of Yonggi Cho. A poor man who started a poor church in a poor neighborhood. Everything about the church spelled poverty. And if a poor pastor was pastoring a considerable number of people, wouldn't it have been good? Pastor and everybody were five. And they asked him, why are you doing what you're doing? He said, God spoke to him about a church of 5,000. 5,000 congregation. Five poor people. We don't even know where they were going. The pastor himself confused. I have been there. I know what it takes for a man to start a journey and get confused with all that is happening around. We are given to fickle. Human experiences are given to changes. In one time you find yourself standing strong. Another time you start to say, what am I? Where am I? What am I doing here? Yonggi Cho said he saw 5,000. If I was with him at that time, I would have said, this is a stupid man. Five people. You're not even trusting God for 50. You're not even talking of 100. You're not even talking about 500, 5,000. In this part of the world, they will tell you, Naso is free. Does it come that cheap? I don't know what you saw at the beginning, but in the course of time, which God does not speak to anyone about, what also did you see? You know, when Solomon built that temple, it was a glorious experience. You see, they were dedicating it. It was indeed a celebration. Heaven and earth came together. When they started to worship God, the cloud of glory came into their midst. Those who were worshippers could not stand to minister to God. The man said, truly, God, you don't live in the house built with the hands of man. It was great. You know, as a Bible student, one of the things I've investigated was what they referred to as the golden age of Israel. And it was indeed glory. You built a building, you built a temple, it was a golden temple. Laid inside out, golden. The tools covered with glory, covered with gold. And what did you see at the beginning? You saw the glory of God. What did you see at the beginning? You saw the material glory. Everything came together. It was a great experience. You know, when they were true, the Bible told us that they started to come from all nations. Recently, I went to Ibadan, you know, to have a meeting with the registrar over there because of a relationship we were trying to establish. And I was telling the man who went with me, I said, you know, they said somewhere along this location, you know, between Ibadan and Ijebode, that there's a place where they had a kind of shrine that they said they buried the Queen of Sheba. I said, you know, all these myths. Did you ever hear about it, sir? There's a local name with which they called the woman, but they said it was the Queen of England. Queen of Sheba. They said she was traveling and she came to this place. She got sick, then she died. And then they said Jebu locals have always been going to that place to beg for baby. You know, those who believe in it was a myth. You agree with me? It could not have been. Just like they said that the whole world started in Yoruba land. Odua came from heaven. God gave him a cockerel. God gave him sound. God gave him a chain. Now I kept asking myself, which hand did he use to hold the chain when he was holding the sand and the cockerel in another hand? Because he slides down with the chain and then he landed on water. And then he poured the sand on one hand on the water and then he threw the cock and that one scattered it. And the land started to grow wide from Hileife, Hileife. Meat, you know. But the woman came all the way from the land of the Shebians, Ethiopia, to Israel, just to see that glory that was there then. Their God was a great God. The world he laden them with was a great, glorious one. But just like it is, like I said, that life is transient, experiences are given to fickle, things change along the line. All manners of king came to rule the land. All manners of experiences they went through. Ravages of war and great losses. The glory, the material glory upon the temple was lost. But before that happened, the real glory was lost. They were the people that were given the law which God established himself. But that law meant nothing to them. The relationship, like one writer said, was a spasmodic one. You know, it's alive today, it's dead tomorrow. It's when they are troubled that they run to God. Just like when people come to church today because of what I want him to do for me. We never think of what he wants us to do. We never think of what he's expecting of us. And this brings problems in. Bible said they chose new gods. Judges chapter 5. Somewhere around verse 5. And war came into the gates. Every time we look away from him, there will always be trouble. And when they looked away from him, the Bible made us to understand that God started to give them into the hands of nations around them. You know, gradually, will you change? Will you see what I wanted to see? Will you do what I wanted to do? They did not see it until the greatest of the mistakes was made and God opened their gates, flung it open to the Gentiles. They plundered the temple. They removed all the gold. You know, in the course of the history, somebody removed the gold there, gave it to those who wanted to conquer him, and he went to remove brass and put it there instead. Man changed the glory which God established into another form entirely. When we talk about the glory of God today, what do we think about? I think most of the time, we don't even think about God, we think about man. I think most of the time, we don't think about him, we think about ourselves. I think most of the time, we don't think about what he wants. We are thinking about what we want. And that's the reason why I think we have removed him from the throne many a times. We have dethroned him and we have enthroned ourselves. We are in charge. We are doing what we want to do. Some of the stuff you've been taught is never to pray to know the will of God again because you're already an embodiment of his will. And you will surely not want to pray to know his will because you're always afraid that he will send you to where you don't want to go. The glory changed face. They were taken into captivity. They went through losses. They went through pains. Their king was fettered. His hand was in chains and his legs fettered. And they went into the strange land like people who were not the ones that God brought out of the land of Egypt. What have they seen in the course of the experience? It wasn't looking like what it was when they started the race, when they started the journey. I mean, I don't know if over time some of you have thought to yourself, that was it truly. So, what pastor said he saw then? Was it true? We've stayed in this small place over the years. Why haven't we built a cathedral? Why haven't we built a great house for God? Why haven't we got a land? We look for our glory and not his glory. You know, recently I look at the statistics of our church and I wasn't happy. You know, every time I meet with them there, I will say, you know, one of the reasons why I'm safe is because my friend is the ZS. Maybe I will have been removed from here. And you know, in the midst of this, those who have called me while I was not a consultant in church growth, and I told them what to do, I saw their churches exploding. Some of them started long after we started, and they've become chartered. While we're keeping to even sustain 50, they are already 160. And then they chartered them, and they even invited me to come and see it. Oh, God. And I said, Lord, I've become like a man who does not know how to do it. I've become a man who knows how to cancel, who does not know how to implement it. I said, Lord, I think it's high time we two will go and plant another church for this church that has not increased as much as we want it to be, and let it be in a new place so that we also will enjoy the benefits that they're enjoying. Every time they plant such churches, you know, people will migrate from Lagos and they will just walk into their churches. And the church was just swelling up. I said, God, if it is like that, let me go and experience it too. And one night as I was praying, he said, did I send you? What did you see at the beginning? What are you seeing now? The experiences oftentimes want to cause you to think differently, want to cause you to look out of the window, wants to cause you to they want to do things the way others are doing it. You even want to borrow some leaf that God did not ordain. What do you see now? When you look at Winning Faith Assembly, what is it like to you now? Whatever it has been, God sent me tonight to tell you he has not changed his plan. What he meant to do then, he said, is still standing with his. Grass may wither, flower may fade. He said, my word abide forever. And the word is the gospel that we preach to you. He said, he has not changed. We might have changed the face of what we thought we saw, but God said, what I said then, I still see it. Apply this to your life personally. When you marry that man, God said, what I told you about him, I still meant it. When you married that woman, God said, what I showed you then, I'm still standing by it. When I gave you that child, God said, what I told you then, I'm still standing by it. You may look at the process of your experience and start to change. He said, I haven't changed. Neither has my plans changed. You know, there's no change in eternity. There's no change in heaven. It's only here on earth that we know such changes. And God sent me tonight to charge you to stay connected with what he told you at the beginning. The plan hasn't changed. If he said it, he's able to do it. If he said it, he will stand by it. You know, he told these people, he said, remember the covenant I made. You know, the covenant was not even when Solomon built the temple. The covenant was not even when the church started. The covenant was when I started the journey with you and I gave you a glimpse of the future that you were going to implement. I remember when he told me then, before the church even started, he said, you know, thank God for those of you who are already clear about what God wants you to do, you know. He said, I know there is a calling upon my life. There was something sure God showed him. Right from school, right from prayer ministry, right from assisting, and coming into this place, God asked me to tell both you, your assistants, and all the remnant of the people around you tonight, I have not changed my plan. I am still with you. Every time you experience this, plunge you into feeling shattered. Every time experiences plunge you into feeling battered. Every time experiences plunge you into feeling being in captivity and not being all that God wants you to be, God says, I should tell you, look to my word. Look to the word that I've shared with you. Everything may change, but the word which I spoke to you will stand. Many of you are here tonight. Listen to me. But God, you promised. But you said it will come. But you said it will manifest. But you said it will be known by many. But where is it until now? He said, look to the word that I gave you. It is not about where you're standing. It's not about the consciousness of your self. It's not about what you're thinking about you. It's not what you think others are thinking about you. Look to the word. That's where the glory is. That's where the glory is. He said, I will fill this house with glory. I will fill this house with glory. I will fill your life with glory. I will fill everything that has to do with you with glory. I will fill it with true glory. True glory. True glory. True glory. True glory. Look away. He's saying, look away from the challenges. If I spoke to you and you got the word, it should confirm to you that I'm still with you. You know, many times in our Christian journey, we don't have the feeling. Many times you wake up in the morning and you know how you feel. Today is a glorious day. God is here. Ever woken up before and you feel like, what is this? You say, at such times, look to the word. At such time, where if you can remember the word, then you will feel the presence of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of grace will always be there to carry you through such circumstances. You say, remember the word. The word is a covenant. When he spoke to David, he described the word as covenant. He said, once have I sworn in my holiness, I will not change. 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 The word that came out of his mouth, it stands forever by it. And the word tonight is, don't be afraid. Where will our land come from? Don't be afraid. When will the miracle happen? It says, don't be afraid. Where will the fund come from? It says, don't be afraid. You are looking at where you are. It says, look to the world. I will fill this house with glory. Look away from it. You know, the problem is that most of the time when we look too much at the trouble starts to enlarge itself. And that's why it says, run the race I've set before you with patience. Fling away everything you can flung aside. And look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Who for the joy that was set before him. Endure the cross and despise the shame, and is now seated. You will cross over to that other side. You will get to the place that he has spoken to you about. You will cross to the other side. The storm may multiply around you. It may be scary around you, but he said you will go to the other side. Remember what he said. He looked to them that day after he had said, let's go over to the other side. They got into the boat and they said they were perishing. He said, where's your faith? You're going to cross over to the other side. You know, recently I was thinking about this church and I was saying, Lord, why didn't you take that place? Or why didn't you just drop a miracle money that will cause them not to have any reason not to take that house at the junction there? Blank. No answer. The following morning he said, well, he will do whatever he has said he will do. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. He said, my spirit is still with you. The spirit of grace is still with you. And that's why he's charging you, don't be afraid. That's why he's asking you, be strong. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 12, he said, the seed shall be prosperous. The word I spoke to you is going to prosper. It's going to fulfill itself. Only let your hand be strong. The charge to everyone tonight is build together as one. We've had guests in our church recently, and every time they talk to me, they said, there's a climate here. I said, Father, thank you. That's what we've been waiting for all along. A spirit of unity, a spirit that build together, a spirit that flock together, a spirit that work together. Let it be. He said, my spirit is with you. It's not an utter of confusion. No division in the camp. Look at your neighbor in the face. Say, no division in the camp. Only be strong. And the reason for all this is that it's going to fill the house with his glory. You know, he personalized it, said, with my glory. He's not just going to fill it with glory. He's going to fill the house with his glory. Amen. His glory. Amen. His glory. Things are not always the way they seem. What you want to collect is not always what he wants to give you. How you want it to happen is not always the way God permits it to happen. But God has his plan and is consistent with it. You know, he asked me to also warn you tonight that a scare is on the way. Because in the land, ministries are going to be shaken.
And you know, this emphasis has come to me in my privacy, and I think this is the first time. Okay, this is the second time I'm saying it publicly. This is the second time I'm saying it publicly. Said there's going to be a scare in the land because some ministries are going to be shaken. Some stories are going to burst into the open. You know, he said what is happening under the cover is they're going to come out on the rooftop. The whole world is going to know about it. You know, God is not going to allow somebody to take his glory and run away with it. No, it won't. He won't allow it. Every time we do what we call ministry, it is his glory that we must look for, not our glory. His glory. His glory said, I will fill this house with my glory. Things are not always the way we see. All that glitter and not necessarily gold. All that we praise and not necessarily the way we think they are. But out of this land and the rubbles of the experiences, God is going to raise a remnant. God is going to raise a people. He said they're going to be a strong team. He said they're going to be a powerful people. He said nothing in the land will break them in their stride. You ain't seen anything yet, says the Lord. And the emphasis comes to you here tonight. You don't even know what is awaiting you. You don't know it when in faith. You don't know it. You don't know it. You don't know it. If you see it, excitement will be much more in your camp henceforth. When you're serving him, when you're working, when you're doing your work or service, there will be so much excitement because you can't wait for there to be a manifestation of what God wants to do. Amen. You have seen what you have set to be standards elsewhere, but he said you have not seen anything yet. Amen. I will fill this house with my glory. You know, God's particular about it. When Jesus spoke to us, spoke to the disciples as church, as those who were around him, he said, let your light shine. It is your light. Let it shine. But the essence of the light is God's glory. He said, men will see you. They don't know him, but through you they will acknowledge him. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. That men may see your good works. The good works is not necessarily the philanthropy, the work of philanthropy we're doing. Not necessarily what the world is commending us for. But what we do, which God has foreordained that we should walk in, and as we start to do it, God will be seen because his glory will fill the house. A scare is on the way, and I'm emphasizing this again. Many of those that we have leaned on as pillars, they're going to be shaken, and we're going to say, God, we thought it was. But God is raising the people. He's going to bring a shaking on all things. Haven't you seen it yet? You know, when this economic trouble started a few years ago, and I was saying, but God, what are you doing? A man of God came to me, has not seen me for a while, and he came in last week. He came in 3 weeks ago. Same issue. He came in last week again. He said, where is the presence of God in the midst of all this? I said, you can't see it. It is here. It is here. It is here. You know how we think? Because we think in terms of men. If we are here and God is here with us, then there should be no Boko Haram. If we are here and God is here with us, there should be no economic trouble. I said, but have you forgotten what he said about the last days? The troubles that will break out on heart, but he's going to cover his own people. He's going to cover his own people. He will fill this house with his glory. A shaking will happen on heart. Are there not professors? Men from Oxford, men from Harvard, men from all those great seats of learning. Why are we going through the troubles that we're going through on earth today? When the highs are shifted away from God, war will come into the camp. But while the shaking is going on, I believe God is using this occasion to prepare all of us for a greater tomorrow. Amen. A greater house. Amen. It's not necessarily the physical house, because you know, when they started to build this new house, there was division in the camp, not a fight. Those who saw the temple of Solomon were not impressed. They started to cry. They can't see what God was going to bring in. They could not see what God was going to work out. They could not see where God was going. When they laid the foundation, the building was yet to rise. The Bible said they started to cry. Some were crying here, some were rejoicing here. This church will rejoice in what God is about to do. We're not going to cry. We're not going to depend upon the past. We're not going to lean upon stories from the past. We're not going to think God has been left behind in the past. He says he's still here and he will fill this latter house with his glory. Amen. He will fill his church with glory. Amen. Rejoice. For great is the Holy One in the midst of you. The world thinks it's not possible. Your present state says it's not possible. Your past says it's not possible. But he says, stay with the vision I showed you. What I said, I will do it in your days. And testimonies will abound in this place. Mm.
I will fill this house with my glory. I will fill this house with my glory. You thought it's not happening the way it should be, but I will make it to come out in a new manner. Still the same thing I've spoken about in the past. And when it comes out, you will start to see things happening the way you never planned them to be. You'll see deserts, but there shall be springs. You see deserts, but there shall be springs. You see wilderness, but there shall be a way. And he said, I will do what I said to you that I will do. Can somebody just lift his hands to the Lord tonight and bless his name? Thank you because you're consistent. Thank you. You are the glorious God. All creations shall bow and worship before you. You are the glorious God. We are positioning ourselves. We are meeting here tonight. We are gathering together unto you. It is your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory. Fill this house with your glory. Fill this house with your